Welcome to Connections Church YouTube and online channel. Our desire is that every person who watches and listens to the preaching of God's Word would be helped, inspired, transformed, and mobilized. Join us now as we dive into the preaching of the living Word of God.
Amen. I want you to know, church, that the blood of Jesus still has power. Amen. It is our salvation. It is our redemption. It is our life. His blood is the reason that we have access to God this morning. I want to share a story that happened to me, and you might relate to this. You might have done this as a teenager or as a young child in primary school. We used to do this, and I often saw friends do this, but I want to have it just a preface before. If you're young, don't do this. Don't do what I'm about to say. We did this, and we did it out of our stupidity, all right? But we did it within the context of a very different world. And today, that has got horrible medical consequences. Terrible things can happen. Infections and sickness can happen if you do this. But I'm going to share what happened. I had a friend when I was in primary school, and we did everything together. We were neighbors. We lived across the road from one another. We were on the same rugby team. We were in the same class. We would spend times at breaks together. We basically lived together. We did everything to do it together. And I remember we would go to the forest and build forts, and we would fight dragons, and we had adventures in the forest. We'd go down to the beach, and we would fight pirates, and we literally made promises that we would grow up and we would have each other's back and we would support one another. And one day when we're very old, we'd sit on our veranda or on our porches and we'd watch the ocean and talk about how great our lives were. And one day we were up in our fort, we were in the forest and we were in our fort, and he walks up to me and he says, "Hold out your hand," which is never something that you just do because your friend tells you to, amen? And I remember him saying, "Hold out your hand," and he had a pin in his hand, and I saw his thumb was bleeding. There was a trickle of blood on his thumb, and he says, "Hold out your hand," and so I held out my hand, and he pricked my thumb, and he squeezed until blood came out, and he says, "Now mingle the blood." He had to put my thumb on his thumb. Don't do that in modern society, amen? We know why, right? But he says, "Now we have to promise each other. We have to make promises to one another." And he says, "Promise that you will always be my friend." And I promised that I'd always be his friend. "Promise that you'd have my back through thick and thin." I said, "I promise I'll have your back through thick and thin." And he said, likewise. He says, "One day when we are married, we are going to be friends and we're going to spend time together as families. And I made a promise. And we would look after each other's kids. And I made a promise. And we would one day retire and talk about the goodness of our lives. And we made promises." And so we rubbed our fingers together, and afterwards he said, "There we go, we are now covenant friends, blood brothers. We will stick together forever." And just a few short years later, we had a falling out in high school. Today, I have no idea where he is. In fact, I don't even know if he's alive. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he has children. And the amazing thing about people is we make these promises. Blood is involved because blood is involved with covenant, but we easily break promises. Man breaks his promises all the time. Amen? But I want you to know this morning that God always keeps his promises. And I want a big amen on that. God always keeps his promises. Amen. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "If we are faithless, which we are, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself." I want you to know that the blood of Jesus, that scarlet thread that the Bible mentions, happens from Genesis to Revelation. That blood remains faithful. Jesus has made a way that we could get to the Father. And he says, "If you would be in my son Jesus, there are so many blessings within the covenant that I will cut with you by his blood." And that's what I want to speak about this morning. Let me ask you a question. Did anyone else do that as a child? Or was it just a weird thing that kids did in Cape Town? Anyone else? Okay, hands going up everywhere. Some honest people, God bless you. All right. Did you ever make a kind of promise to anyone in your life? A friend, a family member, a parent, your spouse on the day you got married, your children. We've all made a promise to someone at some point, amen? Sadly, we all break our promises. I remember 21 years ago, my son Zachary was born in Medicross Constantia in Cape Town, and I went into the room where he was laying in his incubator. I put my hands through those weird little holes. I lay my hands in him, and I said, "My boy, Daddy will never drop you. I promise, Daddy will never drop you." No, no, don't laugh. I, in 21 years, have never dropped my son. Unfortunately, I didn't make the same promises to my daughter. That girl bounced everywhere. And eventually, I realized I needed to pray and make a promise to my daughter. So I lay hands on her one day, and I was like, "I promise you, my girl, Daddy will never drop you." Unfortunately, she was 19 years old at the time. The promise is yes and amen with God. But our promises, we often break. But we have a God that has a covenant with us that will never break His promise. Amen? There are numerous covenants mentioned in Scripture, and we're going to touch on a few of them over the next few weeks. I want to encourage you, don't miss a Sunday. I believe that Jesus is going to intimately draw us into an understanding of the power of His blood and the effect it has in our lives, the benefits of being part of this incredible covenant that we have with God through Jesus. Don't miss a Sunday. Amen. But there are numerous covenants mentioned in the Scripture. We're going to touch on a few over the next few weeks. There is the Edenic covenant we're going to touch on today, the Adamic covenant we're going to touch on today, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. And we're going to be focusing mostly on the New Covenant because that is the covenant that we live under right now. That is the blessing that we have, is that there is a scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus that runs through the Bible, that God says, "I will make a covenant, a promise to man to redeem him from death and give him life." Amen. The dictionary defines covenant as a contract, an agreement between God and his people in which God makes promises to his people and usually requires certain conduct from them. Amen. The Bible defines covenant as a promise, an agreement, or a pact made by sacrificing an innocent animal, cutting it in half, and walking through the halves with the person you are making promises to, agreement with or a pact with. The correct biblical term is cutting covenant. That's why I shared with you, my friend broke my skin, shed blood. It was cutting of covenant. In the Old Testament, they would take an animal, a lamb, and they would cut it in half, lay the two halves, and the covenant partners would walk a figure of eight between the two halves. And they were saying, "We are making promises to one another. We will do this for each other. We will love one another. We will serve one another. We will give of ourselves to one another. We will defend one another. We will fight for each other. What's mine is yours. We will exchange names." There's so many things that would happen. We'll speak about that in the next couple of weeks. But there was something powerful about cutting covenant. Amen. And I want you to understand, the moment you understand that covenant was cut when Jesus died on the cross, it changed the destiny of mankind. And we are beneficiaries of that covenant. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to focus on the first two covenants I mentioned, the Edenic covenant and the Adamic covenant. The Edenic covenant is a covenant of works, and the other one is a covenant of grace. The Adamic covenant is the covenant of grace. And so we're going to look at the Edenic covenant. In the Scripture, we see that there are two kinds of covenants that God makes with man. Some are unconditional covenants. In other words, God says, "I make these promises, whether you listen to me, obey me, or do what I say, I will still be your covenant partner and I'll do what I said I'll do." And then there is a conditional covenant where God says, "These are the promises that I'm making to you, and you will experience the blessing of the covenant if you remain obedient to my instruction." And the Edenic covenant was a covenant with conditions. You with me? But it's incredible because if we look at what God covenanted with Adam, what he promised Adam and what he gave Adam, it's heaven on earth, right? So the benefits of the Edenic covenant can be found in Genesis 1 and 2, and these are the benefits. There were many kinds of trees that were planted that were pleasant to look at and to eat. Anyone enjoy food? All right? Imagine that God just supplied incredible trees with fruit that they could look at and they could enjoy. And they didn't have to pay for it. What a blessing. They had dominion over the animal kingdom. They had gold, aromatics, resin, and onyx to enjoy. They had companionship. God says, it's not good for man to be alone, so he made him a helpmeet. He made him Eve. He made him woman. There should be a big amen in the building right now. Amen. Some men are going, it's been 40 years, man. It's been 40 years. No, we should be grateful that God has given us a companion. So God gave them companionship. He gave them work. Everyone goes, how can you mention work as a blessing? Because work is not a curse. It was a gift from God to Adam. He says, I want you to tend my garden. The garden had no thistles. It had no thorns. It had no weeds. It was a blessing to tend the garden and make it beautiful. Amen. Amen. And they had eternal life and personal and intimate fellowship with God. Imagine that. God would come down in the cool of the day and he would speak to Adam and Eve face to face. He would be intimate with them. He would share jokes with them. They would giggle together. They would share their hearts with one another. Isn't that incredible? You know, it's still possible today. It's called prayer. Amen. But there was conditions to that covenant. In Genesis 2:16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Guess what Adam and Eve decide to do? Let's be disobedient. It's our nature to be disobedient. Amen. Sin was found in the heart of man. And Adam and Eve decide to eat of the tree that God commanded them not to. You know, a lot of people say, how stupid of them. Let me tell you, if you were Adam or you were Eve, you would have done exactly the same. The heart of man is utterly wicked, despicable above all things. Amen? But there's a consequence to breaking the covenant, he says in Genesis 2:17. And for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. The covenant God made with Adam and Eve was conditional based on their obedience to his instruction. And we all know that they disobeyed and ultimately they experienced the consequences of breaking the covenant. Because of their disobedience, all of creation experiences physical death and separation from God. Amen. And then God begins to speak to them and says to them, because you have disobeyed, because you have broken covenant. In Genesis 3:16, it says, to the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. Aina, I thank God I am a man. Amen. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. So from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And we understand that on that day, the life of God left mankind because Adam disobeyed God's command. Amen. Mankind would know physical death and spiritual separation from God. And if you look at it from that point of view, you go, this is sad. This is awful. This is terrible. How can God pronounce a judgment and leave it like that, but he doesn't? And there is a divine but, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. God loves his creation so much that he instituted a grace covenant with Adam. He made a way that man can be redeemed or bought back. A price would have to be paid to redeem man. And that price is that blood would have to be shed. for man to be forgiven, blood would have to be shed. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. What a steep price to pay. Amen. Some may say that God expects too much. How can a loving God demand blood to forgive sin? And we mustn't forget that God is holy. He is perfect, and sin cannot be in His presence. And even though mankind sinned against God and experienced the consequences of disobedience, a holy, perfect, just God made a grace covenant with Adam to redeem mankind. God Himself would pay the price that man couldn't pay. Right there, we have to have an understanding and a revelation that we do not pay the price. God Himself says, I demand blood. And then He goes, I'll shed my blood to redeem the people I love. Amen. Enter Jesus. Man, this moves me. God manifests in the flesh. God says, I love them so much, I'm willing to sacrifice my own blood. I will come to earth as man. I will live amongst them, perfect, without sin. They will crucify me on a cross. They will punish me for no sin. I will become sin for them. And perfect holy blood, the blood of God, would be poured out to wash away their sin. Does that not say something to you this morning? We read in Genesis 3 that Eve was deceived by the serpent and ate the fruit and invited her husband to join her. The Bible says immediately their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked. In other words, they had an understanding of their sinfulness. They had been disobedient to God. So the Bible says they go and hide themselves. God comes down in the cool of the day and He says, Adam, where are you? And Adam sort of hides himself and says, God, we hid because we realized we were naked. He says, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? And Adam says, the woman, isn't it amazing how people are, hey? The man, the woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit to eat. It's all Eve's fault, right? Amen. And then Eve goes, but the serpent deceived me. And in that moment of that connection, that communication between God and man, God institutes grace. And He says this, read in Genesis 3 verse 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And then comes a prophetic utterance. God speaks into the future. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. And at this very moment, Jesus is introduced as the one who would pay the price for man's sin, who would redeem man from his sin and from his prison, and who would shed his blood to ensure that covenant was cut and God would keep a promise to his people. Amen. Jesus would crush Satan's head. Jesus would destroy the works of Satan on the cross. The reference to the serpent being bruising the heel, rather, of Eve's offspring, Jesus, is a reference to something that happens in crucifixion. When you crucify an individual, when Jesus was crucified, they would have laid the cross down on the ground. Jesus' hands would be extended out onto the extensions of the cross, and they would pierce him with a nail in the upper part of his hand. They would then put his feet together down on the cross and they would take a 9-inch nail and they would drive it through his ankles into the wood. Then they would lift the cross and the cross would fall into a hole and he would have excruciating pain as his body takes the weight of his just the weight of the cross falling into the hole. In just a few moments, he would be struggling to breathe. So Jesus, like everyone else who had crucified, he would have to push himself up by his feet and he would have to catch his breath. And as he would push himself up to get oxygen, his heels would be bruised. They would go black from bruising. God in the Garden of Eden says, I've already determined a way to redeem mankind. I will incarnate myself as man. I will come to earth. I will live a perfect life. I'll be crucified and I'll overcome the enemy. I will redeem my people from death. Isn't that powerful this morning? See, that is love. That's love poured out. And that was for you and for me. Although the word covenant was first mentioned in Genesis 6, we see God cutting covenant with him on behalf of man in Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, verse 31, it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed or covered them. They realized that they were sinful. Their sinfulness was exposed. And God then goes, and we often read this, but we read over it. We don't understand that blood was shed so that they could be covered. Blood was shed so that they could be clothed. I believe that God went and took a lamb. He sacrificed the lamb. He then took the skin of that animal and covered Adam and Eve. And that's when he first cut covenant, a covenant of grace with them, where he said, your works can do nothing for you, but the blood of the lamb must be shed so that your sin can be covered. Amen. This is where the scarlet thread of the blood of Jesus begins to weave through the entire scriptures. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, on the Day of Atonement, the priests would sacrifice a lamb and present the blood of the lamb on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the temple, where the presence of God dwelt. God would look at sinful man, but see through the blood of an innocent lamb. God would recognize the sin, but he would only see innocent blood. In Hebrews 9, verse 7, we read, but only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself for the sins of the people, for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. But the problem is, from Genesis, when a covenant was cut, when an animal, when a lamb was sacrificed, when the blood was presented on the mercy seat in the presence of God, it never washed away sin. It only covered sin for a year. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the priest would come in. He would take a lamb. He would sacrifice the lamb. He would take the blood and present it on the mercy seat. God would look down, and for another year, God would say, my anger is appeased, because he saw the blood of the lamb. But he knew in the fullness of time, the spotless, perfect Lamb of God would be born to the earth. And he would present himself as holy and perfect. He would be sacrificed on the cross. And his blood would be presented in the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. And God would look down at mankind and he would no longer say, your sin is covered. He would say, your sin is washed away. Your sin has been paid for. The Bible says Jesus became sin for us. And we took upon ourselves his righteousness. In John 1:29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. How can we not fall so desperately in love with Jesus when we understand what he has done for us? In Revelation 13, verse 8, it calls Jesus the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning, God knew, I will redeem my creation that rebelled and sinned against me. Jesus was God's plan from the very beginning. God made a covenant with himself on behalf of man because he knew man could not keep their part of the covenant. If you receive Christ, you become a recipient of the benefits of that covenant. Amen. Hebrews 10:10 says, "And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." I've heard people say to me, "God is cruel. There is so much pain and sorrow in the world. How can a loving God allow this to happen?" The truth is, the pain, the sorrow, and the suffering in the world is not God's doing. It's the work of sinful man expressing his fallen nature. It's sin working itself through the world. Jesus is God's love and grace expressed to a fallen, sinful world. God the Son, Jesus, came to earth, lived a perfect life. He was a spotless lamb that was presented to the Father at the cross. His blood was presented to the mercy seat. And God looks down at us and he said, "If you are in my Son, all I see is perfection." Church, understand this morning, we are under a covenant we have with a living God through the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Let's stand this morning as we close. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, hand on your heart. I don't know about you, but I just really sense such a sweet presence of Jesus. And I really do believe that he wants to speak to you this morning. You see, I don't want you to walk out here with some incredible revelation. I just want you to know this morning that you have been paid for with such an incredible price. We should be grateful. We should devote ourselves to him. Amen. Do you understand the price that was paid for you this morning? Can you fathom the depths of his love towards you? If you are seeking God here today, know that there is a scarlet thread that runs through the entire scripture that demonstrates God's love for you. Jesus was God in the flesh whose blood was poured out for you on the cross of Calvary. He redeemed you. He paid a price for you. And this morning, if you are not in Christ yet, he calls to you. Will you devote yourself to the one who made a covenant with himself on our behalf to redeem us? Will you express your gratitude to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Will you join me this morning in giving our all for the one who gave his all for us? Father, as we stand in your presence, we understand that we stand in the presence of a holy, perfect, righteous, majestic, just God. And Father, we know that you cannot be in the presence of sin. Darkness is not within you. And man sinned against you. We rebelled against you. But Jesus, you loved us so much that you were willing to come to earth to suffer in our place, to take our sin upon you. You cut a covenant with man by your own blood shed on the cross. We love you this morning. We thank you that we're alive because of you. We thank you that we have salvation because of you. We thank you that we have been redeemed. We love you. We bless you. We worship you. May each of your people, your sons and daughters, those who call on your name, may they have a deep, deep revelation of the price that was paid for them. The blood of God poured out on the cross. We worship you. We love you this morning. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You can put your hands down. You might be here this morning and you might be that seeker, somebody who's just visiting, someone who has maybe been here for a week or two, but you haven't really connected with Jesus yet. You're trying to find out about him. I want you to know this morning, this Jesus I'm speaking about is this Jesus that has thread, the scarlet thread throughout his word. His blood was made available at the very beginning. His blood was poured out to pay for a sin that you cannot pay for. And I want you to know this morning, you're not here by mistake. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not die or perish, but have eternal life. Jesus made a powerful statement. The one who cut the covenant, he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. You might be here today and you say to me, Brent, I'm standing here and I'm sensing a stirring on the inside. That stirring, your heart pounding your chest, that stirring is the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father. And all you have to do is surrender your life to Jesus. You say, Jesus, here I am. Take my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. And I'm going to, in a moment, give you an opportunity to put your hand up and respond to this. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I'm going to include you in a prayer that I believe will change your life forever. So if God is speaking to you, there's a stirring on the inside, there's a conviction and a sense of God calling you to know him. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and I will include you in a prayer that I believe will change your life. Don't worry about the people next to you. This is not between you and them. This is between you and a living God. Amen. And so on the count of three, just quickly slip up your hand and I'll include you in that prayer to make sure that you know that you are right with the living God, that you are in the covenant that was cut and paid for by the blood of Jesus that gives you eternal life. On the count of three, one, two, three, just quickly slip up your hand and say, Brent, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Quickly slip out up. Don't leave without making this decision this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask that you pray this prayer, especially those with their hands up. Say, Father, this morning, I thank you for your love. Your word says, if I would say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I would be saved. I do that today. I ask you, forgive me, cleanse me. I receive you as Lord and Savior. I choose today to lay down my life, to pick up my cross, and to follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. Thank you, because I have done this. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen.
We trust that you have been encouraged by the sermon. If you have decided to commit your life to Jesus, congratulations on the best decision of your life. Please let us know at info@connectionschurch.co.za. We would love to celebrate your decision and help you navigate your new relationship with God. God bless you.